You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This is The Underground, put on by KBOO's Youth Collective. I'm Annie, and this month our show is on drugs.
And up first, Shadow interviews her mom about rehab.
Hello, my name is Shadow Silvers, and I'm here with my mother, Deneen, who has a wonderful story to share with us regarding this month's Youth Collective topic, which is drugs. Hello, how are you this morning?
Good.
Great. Now, we all know that drugs are a very sensitive subject for reasons both known and unknown. You've experienced quite a few things in your life concerning or relating drugs. Could you give us a short overview of your dealings with mind-altering and mood-changing substances and how abstaining from them has sculpted you into the beautiful person that you are today?
I'd like to say that I'm very honored that you would ask me. Drugs and alcohol have always been a part of my life since I started using at the age of 11. They've always done for me what I couldn't do or face alone, and drugs and alcohol is how I coped with life, love, stress, anger, fear, and everything else. I've always been violent, so when I added booze and drugs, I was a very violent, enraged person. I couldn't have faced life on life terms without them. Oblivion is what I searched for and found. Booze and drugs have always done for me what I wanted them to do, and I could deal with life on life's terms, drunk and loaded, whereas I couldn't have done it otherwise. And then I graduated to jails and prisons due to my violent and enraged person that I had become. The thought never occurred to me to stop using drugs or alcohol. They were always a part of my life. I liked being loaded. After 20 years of drinking and drugging and winding up in jails and in bushes and alleys and dumpsters, I woke up out of a blackout and was sick. And I thought maybe I might have a problem. Well, I stopped drinking for about 2.5 years. And one day I was stressed out. Life on life's terms were starting to get the best of me because I didn't have the best coping skills, so I started using again. After being drunk and loaded for about 8 months, I experienced another blackout, and I had hurt my children and wound up in jail. And then I came to, and I got an opportunity, which I hope more people get the opportunity, to read the police report while I was still coming out of the fog. And I read the police report, and I got real sick at what I'd become. And that was a rageful drunk. Right there and then, I begged to the sky, the wind, the trees, the sun, the universe, help me, I can't stop drinking or using by myself. I need help. Help me. And so right then and there, my higher power relieved me of the obsession to use. I experienced the rush of life today without booze and drugs, where I never thought that I would ever be able to do. And today I can wake up in the morning and I'm not crawling out of my skin or need booze or drugs to help me get up in the morning, which I find very, 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 very nice. Today I have my beautiful daughters in my life and my grandbabies in my life today, and I actually care and love them, to whereas I didn't care about them or love them, because at the end of my addiction, all I cared and loved was booze and drugs. And there was only hate and anger in my soul. There isn't. I get to experience light today. And I know that if I was using, it wouldn't be that way. But drugs and alcohol were a coping skill for me because I couldn't deal with myself. It always did for me what I wanted it to do. And that was to take me to another place so I wouldn't have to feel anything. I get the opportunity to wake up and feel something. And most of the time it's pretty good. But I've learned a few things, and that is that booze and drugs were only a symptom of my problems, that I can't escape from them anymore. I choose not to. I could always go back to using. I just choose not to do that.
All right. I heard something about a birthday.
Yeah, I just turned 11. 11 years clean and sober.
What else? You got your bachelor's degree.
Yeah, I'm a sixth grade dropout, and that's pretty amazing stuff from where I come from. I never thought I'd be able to get it, and I did. It took me 6 years to get that bachelor's degree, but hey. And I am an alcohol and drug counselor. I do get to spread the message. The message is there's another way to live.
Yay!
Yay!
It's Shadow Silvers signing off for KBOO.
Wow, that was actually a very interesting interview. Very interesting. Up next, we have a piece by someone from Jefferson's Youth Action Group. Just kidding. This is a piece by someone from Jefferson, and yeah.
Hello, my name is Shadow Silvers, and I'm...
My name is Dasha.
Baby girl, what's your name?
I am a student at Jefferson High School.
What you know about me? What you know about me? What you know about me?
In our computer class, we did a topic on drugs. Here goes my thesis. Why do people become a drug addicted? How do they get off of drugs? People can use peer pressure to make you do things you don't want to do. People argue that drugs are cool.
Mama, what's wrong? I just want to be a part of the cool crowd. I just feel like I don't have what it takes.
And if you follow them, you are not a leader. If you resist the pressure, you will be judged. You should walk away from peer pressure. Become the person you want to be, not what others want you to be. You can get drugs from anywhere. Doctors, family, drug dealers, and many more.
This is the life of a, the life of a. Hey. Go get a,
hey. Drugs are given out all over the world. Doctors give out prescription drugs for pain. The patient becomes addicted to the drug. Remember to always be safe because you don't want to mess your life up. Drugs are things you would not want to control your life. If you do not control it, your life will end faster. By getting on drugs, your family loses hope in you.
Someone I thought had died so long ago.
Drugs can hurt your children.
I could barely make it on these streets. Plus, I got a couple mouths to feed my babies and dire needs on.
Drugs are very powerful and can play a big part in your life. Drugs can make you spend all your money. Then you will be poor and have nowhere to turn to. Drugs have huge impacts on your life. It's better for you not to do them at all. Patients can avoid being addicted to drugs by not taking so many at once. Many people should follow the instructions on the pill bottle. Do not bend the rules because you might get addicted. If the pain gets worse, do not double or increase the load. Call the doctor to see if he can help you another way than taking so many. This is a personal story by Dasha. One of my ex-friends drank every day. The drug had a great effect on her. Now she has to learn that parties and drinking is not the only thing in life. She has to plan out her life for her baby that's on the way. There are many ways people can get off of drugs. People can pay for a 12-step program to get help. They can use a patch to stop their addiction. People want their normal life back. They will do almost anything to get better. Thank you.
With the greed inside and how it tries to lead you, lustful waves to greet you. Please, it will not leave you. Evaporating through the hole of a wave, the pipeline nightmare we create. And when you try to swim and find, you're in it till the grave of a lost aspiration. The lofty goals that couldn't be reached, identity's root was something other than what the richest fool preached. Evaporating through the hole of a wave, the pipeline nightmare we create. When the root you're holding on has no solid ground, you find yourself in the pipeline heading south. There is no up, there is only down, into the sea. The pipeline of counterfeit dreams.
Hi, my name is Ariel. I go to Jefferson High School. And
that's a fact, all I know.
Today, I will be talking about how drugs hurt athletes and why they take them.
Listen.
There are many reasons why athletes use drugs. People feel stressed when they do not know if they're going to do good or not. Drugs come in handy before every game, and they make people feel good.
Dribble up and down the court.
Drugs help to relax the muscles in your system.
Yeah.
The athletes need to use energy to stay focused. It is a huge pressure for athletes to take drugs in order for them to win. Drugs can focus your brain. All-star players put lots of peer pressure to the incoming drafts who look up to them. There are many ways in which drugs can hurt athletes. All of the breaking outs create facial problems. Eye issues are the most common thing. The drugs that are taken are most likely to turn your eyes red, causing itching and burning. For every puff you take or pill you swallow, body pain will follow because of the toxins being stored. Smoking causes less oxygen in the body. Athletes sell drugs for more money. They think it will help them get a higher notice from recruiters. Asthma takes an even greater toll on athletes who use drugs. Drugs cause people to stop from doing what needs to be done. Drugs mess with your cells, which harm the larger organs of your body. Success is more likely if you don't use drugs. You will be in better shape by going to every workout. You can get without your mind on other situations that involve drugs. You begin to run harder with all of the oxygen in your body, especially on a nice sunny day. You success more by staying focused and practices and not worrying about what drug you're going to take today. When there is no peer pressure, you begin to believe in yourself. No breakouts appear, which gives your body great looks. The less drugs you take, the more of a healthy body you will have. Athletes know that drugs are not okay to do because of the turnout that happens. But the good turnout would be by not taking drugs and staying in good shape throughout the whole season.
And up next is Little Zoe doing a piece about catnip.
I love animals. Geckos, snakes, dogs, goats, horses. But the one animal that's been with me my whole life is cats. Every day of my life, we've had at least one cat. Last year, we had 17 because our cats had 13 kittens. Right now, we have 5 cats. Naota, my Maine Coon, the Tabby twins, Pixie and Dixie, and Midnight, a black cat, and Fatty, a black smokes. I understand a lot about cats, but one thing I don't understand is why catnip makes cats go crazy. Tomcats react to the scent of catnip because it's similar to the scent made by female cats. Female cats, on the other hand, have a chemical reaction to the oil in the leaves. This special oil turns on a pleasure sensor in the cat's brain. These reactions give cats their catnip high. Reactions to catnip range from excitement to relaxation to panic. Each cat reacts in its own way. Midnight is the hunter in the family. The only time she settles down is when she lays on her catnip pillow. Catnip lets Midnight relax, but Fatty is totally the other way around. He's a sweet and affectionate cat, but once Mom planted a catnip plant, and the next day there was nothing left. He still rolls on the ground where the catnip was planted last year. Naota is the laziest cat I know. She sleeps and eats. She plays with her catnip ball for a few minutes, and then she passes out. And last, Pixie and Dixie. They have no reaction to catnip because they had catnip when they were kittens. Kittens have catnip at a young age. They usually don't react to it at all, even when they are older. So buy some catnip and see how your cat reacts to it. Again, this is Zoe at the Underground signing off.
Thanks, Zoe. That was very interesting. Up next, we have a piece by Erin, and she went and found out more stuff about the Woodmere Youth Action Group.
Hi, my name is Annie.
Hi, my name is Alona.
Hi, my name is Draven.
My name is Courtney.
Hi, my name is V.
Hi, my name is Alexandra.
We are Woodmere Youth Action Group. We are 4th and 5th graders who are helping our neighborhood and practicing how to be leaders in our community.
We have planted trees, cleaned up a part of Johnson Creek, packed food boxes, attended a MLK Junior Day event, gone to City Hall to tell Mayor Tom Potter and the City Council about the problems in our neighborhood.
We have also discussed the Youth Bill of Rights and conducted 3 interviews with Portland political figures and professionals.
We interviewed Rick Ray, web publisher for
that we can do better universal health care project founded by former Governor John Kitzhaber, Wendy Lebo, the director of the Commission on Children and Families, and Tina Willard, former Rapid Response team member and current Portland Police Force criminalist.
We are going to hear them speak about universal health care, how we can influence the government, what the police do and what a criminalist does, and what the Commission on Children and Families does.
Welcome, Wendy. Thank you for coming.
What do you think are the problems in Portland schools?
It seems that one of the problems that Portland has that most other schools also struggle with are problems with closing the achievement gap. We have to deal with those issues, especially impacting communities of color, immigrant families, and families living on a low income. We really want all students to be successful and to have the opportunity to reach their full potential, to graduate from high school, ready for college or a good job, to be good citizens in the community. That's the focus that we take, is sort of a strengths-based approach around how can we all, in each of our roles, support each child getting the opportunity to succeed and supporting families and helping their students to do that.
Who has the power to create or change policies and programs?
I love this question because we all do. The fact is we each have a voice. Any one of us can go to our county commission budget hearings or a city budget hearing and speak up about something we really care about. And we're listened to as citizens. You can write letters to the editor, or you can start a program. We have a group of young people who started a teen pregnancy prevention program where middle schoolers get mentored by high schoolers, and they've gotten grants, and now that program is going to end up being a permanent program in an agency. So there are lots of ways to get involved. If you really care about something, it's worth starting to talk to folks about how can I make an impact.
What different programs or policies do you think would work better?
First, I would love to see health insurance for everybody, health care for everybody, all children, all families, everybody. And I would really like to see more services and more supports earlier. There's this story about how two friends were sitting by the side of a river and they see a child floating by, clearly in distress, and one of the men jumps in the water to save the child. And then a while later, another one floats by and they jump in and they pull that child out. And then another. And finally, the friend walks away, and he says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going upstream to find out how those kids are ending up in the water and stop it up there." And that's what I'd like us to do, is to have less crises and start off with preventing things in the beginning that are preventable, like child abuse, so that we can say everyone has the opportunity to thrive and to make sure that youth voice is at the table.
Thank you for coming.
Hira Gray, thank you for coming.
What do you do in your daily life?
At the Archimedes Movement, I work on the website, which is wecandobetter.org.
What happened in your life to get you where you are now?
Two things happened. One, ever since I was a kid, I liked to volunteer to help do things in my community and make the world a better place. And then meantime, on my job, I did different things like help make television, and then later I started making websites and doing software kind of stuff. So I had the opportunity to work for the Archimedes Movement. It was the chance for me to put the two sides of my life together, my volunteer side with my other work side, and so I could mush them back together.
What is healthcare?
That's really a good question. Health is your environment. It's the food you eat. It's how you feel. But it also means you get to have health care, which means going to a doctor.
What is wrong with the health care system we have now?
In Oregon, which is actually the same as in the whole United States, if you walk down the street and you pass six people, one of those six people would have no health care coverage, which means if they go to the doctor, they have to pay out of their pocket to go.
What is your program about?
So we're proposing, and it's just, when I say we, it's not just me and a couple other people. We have a group that's a grassroots group of people all over Oregon who've been working on ideas of a way to have everyone have health care coverage. by reusing the money we're spending now, because the United States spends more on health care than any country in the world. Meanwhile, you know, so many of our people don't get it.
What will this do to the money our families pay in taxes?
The principles of our plan are that we would just use the money we're already paying now. And so it wouldn't affect most people's taxes one way or another.
Do you have health care?
I have health care because my wife has health care. Archimedes Movement, like many nonprofits, the budget is too low. It's like a small business. They don't have enough money to pay for health care. I don't get it from where I work, which is quite common. But luckily, my wife works at a company that's really big, and she gets health care. So we can, for a little bit extra, we can get the health care coverage on my wife's account from her work.
Is there anything that you want to say that we haven't asked you about?
I'd like to say I think it's really neat that you guys have a group that's going out and doing stuff in your community, and I'm proud of you.
Hi, Tina. Thank you for coming. What is so special about your job?
Well, what is special about my job and about me is that I am an individual like all of you guys here sitting before me. Something that ties in with my job with that is that when I go out to a crime scene, I process it and I look for fingerprints. And fingerprints are very unique. Nobody has a fingerprint like your fingerprint. That is really a special science that I do in my job to help figure out and solve crimes.
So how do you find fingerprints at crime scenes?
First of all, what I do is I go to the area where the person broke into. It's real hard to see a fingerprint, so I have to use either some kind of powder, and it sticks to the oils from the hand that the hand or the fingers left, and then I take a piece of tape, and I put it over the powder that stuck to the fingerprint, and then I put that on a white card, and that's how I lift a fingerprint.
What happened in your life? What were the troubles you had, and how did these things get you to where you are now?
Well, probably some of the biggest troubles I had in my life was when I grew up, it was just my mom and my brothers and sister, and we didn't have a lot of money, so we weren't able to get into a lot of programs like sports and stuff. I kind of had to find my own interests, and sometimes, like one of my brothers, his interest turned to sometimes drugs and alcohol, and I chose to stay away from that. And then as I grew up, I became a very organized and neat and tidy person, and I took art in school. And since I couldn't afford to go on to an art school for college, I became interested in police work, and I'm really glad that I did, because it was that whole path that led me to be able to solve these crimes and look for little pieces of evidence at crime scenes, and that's how I got to be where I am today, and I love what I do.
What does our parents' tax money pay for in the police department?
Well, first of all, they pay for me so I can live. They provide my paycheck for our training. Sometimes we have to be very specialized in certain areas. Also, the police and the community programs that we work together with, so that there's no gap between police being the bad guys and the community thinking that the police are the bad guys or that they don't want to help. So with the police and community programs working together, then we're able to all kind of get along and determine what is going to be most important and best to have the safest city to live in. And equipment. The equipment that we have are police cars, the equipment that you see police officers wearing, even our guns. Those are all provided by taxpayers' money.
We want to thank you for coming.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening from Woodmere Elementary School's Youth Action Group. To the kids who are listening, stay active in your community.
My name's Annie.
I'm Lona.
I'm Courtney.
I'm V.
I'm Draven.
Thanks for listening, Alexandra.
And that was the kids from the Windmer Youth Action Group. And next up is another piece from Jefferson High School.
I'm lost without you, can't help myself.
My name is AJ and I go to Jefferson High School. I'm going to be talking to you about three of the worst drug side effects and how they make your body unhealthy. Did you know that drugs are one of the main things that damage your body? When you are taking drugs, you are killing yourself little by little. When you are ill and need to get better, you can use drugs from your doctor. But when you take drugs on your own, you get more and more sick. When you do drugs, your teeth can get rotten. When you are taking drugs, you can also overdose and die. These are some of the ways these drugs can mess up your life. You will not be able to get good jobs because they will take your drug test and you will, of course, fail. Drugs can mess up your appearances. You can break up your family and be on your own. If you say no to drugs, you will have a much more healthy life. If you are addicted, there is programs to stop your drug addictions. This is the number of deaths in the U.S. 7,101 in 1979, and then 16,926 by 1998. You can get more high-class jobs or even average jobs. One thing that you will have is positive friends to hang around if you don't do these drugs. These are some of the main drugs that people use: crack, weed, meth, ecstasy, and those are the most popular drugs. But what crack can do to you is rotten your teeth. Weed can mess up your brain cells. Meth can cause people to go mental or crazy. Ecstasy can speed up your heart rate. Yeah. These are the drugs that are popular, but you shouldn't do. I'd like to tell you a personal story about my life. I had an older cousin that was doing drugs in school. She started doing drugs and dropped out of high school and got pregnant. For doing these drugs, she couldn't pay for her kids because she didn't have a good enough job. My cousin had trouble with her life because she's taking drugs. She went to a group home to stop the addiction that she had, and it worked. In conclusion, drugs are the biggest threat to your life. I hope you learned a lot about these drugs and know not to use them. Taking drugs are bad unless your doctor gives you a prescription. So don't take these drugs that are harmful to you in any kind of way. And thank you for listening.
I'm lost without you, can't help myself. How does it feel to know that I love you, baby?
This is AJ signing out from Jefferson High School.
All right, up next we have a piece by me, Annie, and yeah, today was my last day of high school. Yay! And Jennifer's and Margaret's and lots of other people in Youth Collective. So, yeah.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
My name is Annie and I am 17. By the time you hear this, I will be done with high school forever. The last 3 years of my life haven't been a complete waste, as one might assume, although they certainly haven't been the best 3 years either. For the most part, I've just gone through the motions like most of my peers, counting down the days till graduation. But after so much waiting, it's finally here, and I don't feel the same anymore. It's hard for my mind to grasp the idea that I will never have to set foot in Grant High School ever again. Even stranger is the notion that the people I've seen every day for the past 3 years, I could go without ever seeing again. It's weird. But also great. It means a lot of things to finally be done with it all. I do admit I could have been more active and participated more in the years prior to this one, but I would rate my senior year, while excruciating and tedious and stressful beyond comprehension, as my most worthwhile year of high school. I think I've discovered some of my true callings in life this year: volunteering, art, and constitutional law. My experience on the Constitution team at Grant was literally life-changing. While I didn't exactly enjoy all the hours of free time I gave up to be a part of it, learning the ins and outs of the most important document in our nation, Winning the state hearing and getting to go to the national competition in Washington, D.C. this spring was a priceless experience. Never before had I felt so proud of being a citizen of a country where I can use the power of civic virtue to make real change. It has prepared me to go out into the world and change the system and make it better. It's inspired me so much, I've even considered running for a position in local government when I'm older. I feel like there's a whole world ahead of me. I'll be 18 in a few months, and I look forward to gaining the right to vote, not just for next year's national election, but on legislative and state issues as well. Having been introduced to the wonderful world of KABU has been an amazing in combination with Constitution Team. I feel that KABU is an environment based in Lockean ideals of social contract and limited government. I feel free to voice my opinions because I know that everyone who is here cares about the world and cares about other people and not just themselves. It's been so enchanting to be a part of such a positive, supportive community, and it's enhanced my love of volunteering. It's been a busy and interesting past 12 months for me. Sitting here in the studio, thinking back on all the wonderful and amazing things I've gotten to be a part of, I'm really gonna miss it all. I'm growing up, and it's good, but I don't want to grow apart from all these great things. Sure, high school sucked, but the time outside of the classroom was well spent, and I don't regret anything I've chosen to pursue. I just hope that when I'm an adult, I can still feel young and feel like I make a difference. Okay, that was my piece, and it wasn't about drugs, but just some interesting side notes. Grant High School, the high school that I went to, their mascot is the Generals because of General Ulysses S. Grant, and he was a drunk, and alcohol is a drug. And also the song that was playing in the background, The Ballad of Jim Jones by the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Jim Jones was the guy who started Jonestown, and he killed all of his followers of his cult with cyanide, and cyanide is a drug. And the Brian Jonestown Massacre were addicted to heroin, so that's a drug too.
Okay, and I'm Margaret, and this too was my last day of high school. I spent it not in class, but at an assembly and a commencement rehearsal. I think it is fitting the last day I was required to attend school I did absolutely nothing academic. Throughout my years in high school, too much emphasis has been put on sports and homecoming hall decorations, and not enough emphasis has been put on the reason we were forced to go to school in the first place, to learn. Most of all of the school assemblies that have been held throughout my 4 years in high school have been pep assemblies. The principal's awards, which honored the in-class achievements of the underclassmen, were held after school and hardly publicized. And today, at the senior recognition assembly, over half of the awards were for athletic achievements. It is no wonder that my generation has disappointed our elders intellectually. We have been brought up in an environment that does not value our scholars as much as it does our athletes. If we want our next generation to succeed in both school and the real world, we must hold them to a higher standard and give them more incentives to learn. We will continue to disappoint those who come before us and be disappointed by those who come after us unless an effort is made to value those who study and are committed to lifelong learning. Until that day, we have no right to complain about those young people today. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Up next, we have yet another piece by Jefferson.
Woo!
Go!
Miss Jorge Corona. I'm from Jefferson High School. I'm gonna talk about what happened to children who have parents who do drugs. The students do drugs because they think that their parents will not say anything to them. The parents don't talk to the students about drugs. The parents forgot to tell the dangers about drugs. The students say, "Oh, my parents don't care." The parents hope that the students will not smoke drugs. The parents are working and they think that the students are at home, but the students are smoking on the streets. If students have parents that smoke drugs and the students may take drugs to school to sell the drugs, the students steal the drugs from their parents to make money in school or the streets. If the teachers see the student selling drugs, the students will be expelled from school. The if the students say that their parents have drugs, the parents could go to jail. They think that they are not going to die using drugs because their parents don't happen anything. Their parents don't die with drugs because they know how to use them. Story of Jorge. My cousin have 18 years old. He saw her friend smoke drugs and he think that they can, and he is older to use drugs. My grandfather smoked in front of my little cousin, and my little cousin used my grandfather's cigarettes when he was sleeping to my little cousin. They take him to the hospital because he was smoked. My neighbor drank beer on one time. He had a party and her son that have 10 years old, he take like 5 beers to outside to drink with her friends. Her father didn't know because he was drunk. When Jose saw her parents smoke drugs, he think that if their parents smoke, why him can? He think that he can drink and smoke because he think he was older to use drugs. He think that nothing will happen to him. Conclusion: the parents smoke and the students take some drugs to sell in school. The parents don't think that their son will be like them. The parents are drunk and don't know that the kids are smoking inside. Parents should not smoke or drink in front of their little kids.
That was a piece by Jefferson again. And up next, we have an interview by Ben with Alec, a straight edge guy.
Yes, go!
This month in the Youth Collective, the theme for the show is drugs. But I didn't want to do a piece about drugs. My friend Alec is 18 and he's straight edge.
How's it going, Ben?
It's going good. So, what is straight edge, Alec?
It's the practice of abstaining from drugs, alcohol, and smoking, and promiscuous sex, and basically anything that you feel is a poison to your body and isn't meant to be there in the first place.
Why are you straight edge?
I felt like I did a lot of drinking and smoking and doing drugs, but in the long run I realized that wasn't something that I wanted to participate in. I could just not do it, but straight edge seemed like something to me where I have other people that I can relate to and that are almost family to me because we have this connection that brings us together and closer, and it keeps us all stronger and last in the long run instead of selling out and being a little drunky again. I mean, I'm still friends with people that drink and smoke and do drugs, but I believe that straight edge was the way for me to go.
How long have you been straight edge?
About a year and a half.
So, would you say that straight edge music at all inspired you to be straight edge?
Yeah, definitely. Bands like Champion and Have Heart and Bane, which is like newer hardcore, but also older hardcore like Minor Threat has definitely influenced me, and some of the, you know, what people call tough guy hardcore, which, you know, it's just the name, but it's still good music. And metalcore too, like Tyrant, Bound in Blood, all those bands really good. Sharem, you know, good bands.
Does that mean that you now like other music less, such as TV Party by Black Flag? Or?
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. I don't like, I always go back to the music that I listened to when I was growing up before I became straight edge. I mean, I'm not a fan of like promoting drinking and music, but I mean, if that's what they write about in their lyrics, then that's fine. I mean, it's music, and if it's good, then I'll listen to it. I have no problem with that.
So, some people see straight edge as violent.
A lot of people see that. There is a lot of violence connected with straight edge, but I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the majority of the scene being connected to hardcore music. There's a lot of violence in that. And, like, people have watched Boston Beat Down, which is a movie just about people getting the crap beat out of them. But, I mean, it's, like, that is just ridiculous. I don't, that stuff is definitely, it's making straight edge look bad. But, I mean, I believe in this strongly, and universally, if somebody insults your beliefs, you're gonna do something about it. There's a lot of talk about beating up drug dealers and beating up kids that smoke and drink and straight edge music, and a lot of kids take that seriously, and they take it upon themselves to hurt people to do that. But, you know, majority of my friends still drink or do drugs or smoke, and I have no problem with that. I'm not going to go and fight them.
And just for reference, we should note how tall you are and how muscly you are.
Yes, I am quite muscly.
And how tall?
6'6".
Woo! I was gonna ask you about your tattoos. How many tattoos do you have?
I have 6.
Wow.
Yeah. Not all of them are straight edge tattoos. I have 3 that are straight edge tattoos. I have one on my left arm that has 3 X's and birds flying with this banner, and it has Bane lyrics. Bane is a band from Massachusetts. They're a straight edge band. The lyrics say, I will be here tomorrow, I will be here next year, just like this X on the back of my hand, not going nowhere. Some people put X's on the back of their hand so people know that they're straight edge. I also have Poison Free written above my knees, Poison above my right knee and Free above my left knee. And then I have a new tattoo, which is kind of a funnier one. It says, drinking sucks, and sucks is spelled with an X, and has a stick figure holding a bottle of alcohol and puking.
All right. Did you have any closing comments you wanted to get into this interview?
I just want to say straight edge is all about personal choice, because that's what it comes down to in the end, your personal choice to abstain from these poisons for the rest of your life.
Alec, thank you very much for coming to be interviewed.
Thanks for having me on, Ben.
That was a piece by Ben Tu, and he interviewed Alec, who is straight edge. Up next, we have Margaret interviewing Andrew live.
Okay, I'm Margaret, and this is Andrew. And Andrew plays the guitar, and we're going to talk to him today. So, Andrew, what style of music do you play?
I mainly play everything, whatever interests me. I do a lot of flamenco, and I do a lot of rock, and just whatever suits me at the time.
And what kind of guitar do you have with us today?
I have a semi-acoustic black cutaway Ibanez.
And then what do you mean by a semi-acoustic?
Semi-acoustic, it means that, well, you know, people know what acoustic guitar is. You can play it. Semi-acoustic means that there's a plug-in in the back that I could, if I wanted to, plug it into an amp and have all the distortion and all that.
That's really cool. And do you have a name for your guitar?
not for this one. I have a name for my other one. If I had to call this one anything, I'd probably call it Johnny Cash because it reminds me a lot of Johnny Cash.
Because it's black?
Yeah, mainly because it's black, but it just seems like what something he would play.
That's cool. And do you play in a band?
I am working on a band right now. I have a few people I know. We've done some kind of blues and funk kind of experimental stuff. We don't have a name or anything yet. We're just kind of collaborating and getting molded right now. But because I like to play so many different things, I'm trying to start just different groups, like a rap group, and then start a punk group, you know, potentially just all different types of music.
That's cool. And do you sing too, or just play guitar?
I sing. I play a lot of instruments. I do guitar, and I do bass and drums and piano and harmonica and trumpet and violin. So there's a wide range.
Now, did you teach yourself all this, or did you learn somewhere?
Violin and trumpet back when I was way younger. I did at school and band and all that. Mainly guitar and vocals and all that. I picked up a couple years ago, probably about 3 years ago. My grandmother died and then left me her guitar. And so I just started messing around, and we live with guitar players. And so I would just get stuff shown to me. Lessons kind of ended up annoying me in the end. So.
And do you intend to pursue music as a career?
Possibly. I would like to, you know, be a rock star or go on tour all the time. But I've thought about maybe being a studio musician or producing some stuff as a realistic job.
That's cool. Would you mind playing something for us here today?
Yeah, I'll play something that doesn't have a name.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Okay. Did you come up with that tune yourself?
Pretty much. It's just a combination, you know, of chords and scales. Basic 12-bar kind of blues, a couple dominant chords. I've just been messing around with that a lot. You know, when you're in a band, you want to warm up something to jam to, so.
That's really cool. And did anything particular inspire your music, or?
Yeah, I get inspired a lot. It's like within the past couple weeks, I haven't been inspired much. I've been sick, and I've been like, I have nothing to write about except not having anything to write about. And but just listening to old music and anything good, like I'll listen to, there'll be some techno bands I like, and then I'll listen to, you know, Johnny Cash or James Brown, and then I'll go ahead and listen to Django Reinhardt, who's a great gypsy jazz guitarist. So it just varies, or occasionally, you know, if something significant happens in my life, or I feel like something needs to be said, then I'll write something.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. And now we go back to Annie in the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. That was an interview by Margaret with Andrew, a musician. And up next, we have our final piece by Jefferson.
Hi, my name is Diego. Do teenagers really go out in the streets looking for drugs, or do drugs find students? Sometimes students do seek out drugs. Students might find it cool to hang out and sell drugs with friends. Students can find drugs in school. They can also find drugs in the back halls and outside of the school. Family issues may cause kids to smoke. Sometimes drugs find their way into the life of teenagers. Drugs get into the lives of students with the help of their neighbors or even their family members. Drug issues can also become a problem in their family or sometimes their own personal life. In some cases, teenagers might get forced to smoke drugs. It is hard to tell if students find drugs or drugs find students. I would like to tell you a personal story. My cousin was 16 years old. He was walking home that one day. He told me he saw all of his friends sitting down on a bus stop. They told my cousin, "Come smoke with us." But my cousin made the right decision by leaving. I was watching the news one day, and it said that a 13-year-old was caught smoking and drinking on school ground. To wrap things up, I'd like to leave you with a question. Think back to your days in school. Did drugs find you, or did you find drugs? Think about that before you judge any kid without knowing their situation or family problems. Parents should be real careful if they smoke or drink in front of their kids. Parents can set a good or bad example because the kids look up to them. Kids should not follow their friend or parents who may be doing drugs.
All right, that was our last piece of our show this month. Thank you for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 511, or email her at advocate@kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, the last Friday of every month from 11 to midnight, and we're always looking for new music by anyone under 21 of any style. Check out our website at kbooyouth.org. The first and third Wednesdays of the month, Circle A Radio airs at this time, and the second Wednesday of the month, Hole in the Bucket, a public affairs show on homelessness, airs from 6 to 7. Next up is Nonstop Hip Hop with DJ Audio. I'm Annie. Thanks for listening.